Good evening. This is the KRFP Evening Report for Monday, December 13th, 2010. I'm Lee Robartis in the news tonight. Governor Otter says his disagreement over Idaho's wolf management plan with Interior Secretary Ken Salazar derailed wolf delisting talks last week. U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service declines to list wolverines under the Endangered Species Act, and Washington State University considers zero-funding Wheatland Shuttle to the University of Idaho. We'll have details on those stories and more coming up on the KRFP Evening Report. And live in the KRFP studios in Moscow, Idaho, I'm Lee Robartis, and this is the KRFP Evening Report. The U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service issued a report today saying wolverines are deserving of Endangered Species Act protection, but they will delay classifying the wolverine because other species are in more imminent danger. The decision is similar to another by the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service in May, which declined to protect sage grouse under the Endangered Species Act because other species were in more imminent danger. The agency report says wolverines have rebounded to a total of 250 to 300 in the lower 48 states after a hunting program in the West in the early 1900s nearly eliminated them. Warmer weather and reduced winter snowpack in the West may kill off wolverines who need adequate spring snow to reproduce. The agency says environmental models show wolverine habitat will be 25% less by 2050 and 67% less by 2099. Earth Justice Attorney Tim Preso criticized the decision not to list the wolverine until the backlog of species needing federal protection is worked through. Preso said, if history is any guide, it takes a very long time for any action to be taken on this backlog. It's like being stuck in the waiting room of a hospital when you're in need of care. Idaho Governor C.L. Butch Otter said he refused to go along with a settlement that would have taken wolves off the endangered species list last week because of a disagreement with U.S. Interior Secretary Ken Salazar over wolf management plans in Idaho. The Interior Department wants Idaho to maintain between 500 and 700 wolves, but Otter says the state government's target population is only a dozen breeding pairs. Montana Governor Brian Schweitzer and Wyoming Governor Dave Freudenthal reportedly were ready to go along with the three-state settlement with the Interior Department last week. Otter now says Montana's two U.S. Senators, John Tester and Max Baucus, are key for ushering a delisting bill through Congress during the remainder of the year. Moscow City Engineer Kevin Lilly and City Grants Coordinator Elisa Stone gave the City Council's Public Works Committee an update on planned street construction today. A project to widen parts of West A Street is in the design phase and moving along. Stone spoke about federal local highway technical assistant grant funding for another project centered around Mountain View Road.
It includes some turning lanes, and then also we're asking them to take a look at the need for a roundabout in the 6th Street and Mountain View area. In our discussions last week, we had looked at a project cost between 1.2 and I think it was 1.6.
City Grants Coordinator Lisa Stone. Committee member Walter Steed asked Lilly about when the Mountain View to White Avenue project might move forward. Here's City Engineer Kevin Lilly, followed by Grants Coordinator Elisa Stone.
That is partially designed by my office, and it would be our next priority after this. Well, I don't set the priorities, but it would be not constructed by this project, but it would be of a lesser cost, and it would be this. These funds may be scheduled for construction, let's say, in 2015. So if we were to accumulate enough funds in our Mountain View line item, we could possibly proceed with White Avenue to State Highway 8 in the meantime.
Okay.
And the matching funds for this project are 7.34%. And as Kevin said, that this project would be scheduled for 2015. It could possibly come a year earlier if other projects fall off the list, and we've seen that happen before, but we would like to be prepared.
That was Moscow Grants Coordinator Alisa Stone, preceded by City Engineer Kevin Lilly at this afternoon's Moscow City Council Public Works Committee meeting. Whitman County Commissioner Greg Parch has told the Daily News the county is expecting to find a number of fundamental problems in its 2011 budget as it's currently written. The county commission has been working with auditor Eunice Coker to track down $400,000 in transfer discrepancies, including the absence of $194,000 in revenue sources for the planning department. The county had a $131,000 deficit in the 2011 budget, but Treasurer Bob Lothspike increased projected revenues, decreasing the deficit to $85,000. By state law, the county has until December 31st to set their budget. The Washington State University Parking and Transportation Services Department is planning to reduce spending by eliminating the school's $70,000 subsidy for the Wheatland Express shuttle, which takes cross-enrolled students to the University of Idaho. The Washington State University Parking and Transportation Task Force Friday approved the plan requested by the university's Parking and Transportation Services Department to decrease spending and raise money by increasing parking fees. The department says it needs the money to maintain the campus's 4 parking garages and 8,600 parking spaces, including a $1.2 million project to refurbish the Fine Arts parking garage, which was built in 1976 but has not received major repairs since. Under the plan, blue parking lot permits would increase from $104 to $121 per year. Washington legislators voted Saturday to cut the current biennial budget by $590 million, reducing the $1.1 billion deficit by more than half. Education and social services took the brunt of the cuts, with $100 million subtracted from each category. Under the plan, spending for basic health and disability lifeline were reduced. Payments meant to reduce class sizes for kindergarten through fourth grade were suspended, and $210 million in federal aid for education employment was diverted. A dozen protesters greeted legislators in the rain as they entered the state capitol in Olympia for the special session Saturday morning. Evergreen State College student Gene Squires held a sign saying, "Poverty is immoral." Squires said, "We're going to see really draconian cuts. I wanted to make sure people in poverty have a strong voice here at the capitol." Gina Petrie of Sisters Organized for Survival said the cuts could put people who don't currently use social services at risk. Petrie said all it takes is one layoff or one accident, and they can be in a position to need these services. Governor Chris Gregoire said as she signed the budget adjustment into law Saturday night, "I am very proud of what the legislature was able to do today and how they did it. I think it's historic, the bipartisan way in which they stood up to the most challenging time in 80 years. Democratic Senate Majority Leader Lisa Brown of Spokane said the two lessons learned Saturday is the future 2011 through 2013 biennium budget will be extremely challenging, and that things go faster with bipartisan agreement. Republican Senator Joe Zarelli of Ridgefield said the legislature is finally moving in a positive direction. Zarelli said it took far longer than it should have to get to this point, but perhaps the severity of the budget situation is now understood in all quarters. Washington Governor Chris Gregoire said this afternoon the legislature should cut off automatic pension increases for retirees when it reconvenes in January. Hundreds of people have been asked to consider evacuating their homes near the Stillaguamish River northeast of Everett as flooding continued in western Washington and the Portland area yesterday. Most rivers in the area crested Sunday afternoon. However, the Stillaguamish is not expected to crest until sometime today. As of Sunday afternoon, the Stillaguamish was 7 feet above flood stage near Arlington and was expected to rise possibly another foot by this afternoon. The U.S. Army Corps of Engineers sent out sandbagging teams in 7 river basins. Rainfall totaled a record 2.16 inches at SeaTac International Airport in the 15 hours between midnight and 3 p.m. Sunday. Hillsides have been saturated by heavy rains, and the National Weather Service has said there is an increasing risk of mudslides in western Washington. A large landowner who owns thousands of acres south of Bonner's Ferry has inked a deal with the Forest Service and the Idaho Department of Lands to preserve a wildlife corridor between the Selkirk Mountains and the Cabinet Yak Mountains. In the deal, Forest Capital Partners gives up development rights to 3,900 acres of land it owns on both sides of U.S. 95 and the railroad tracks through the MacArthur Lake area in exchange for $4.3 million. $3.2 million will come from the U.S. Forest Service Forest Legacy Program, and the rest will come from private partners. Forest Capital Partners will retain the right to log on the acreage, but they must follow public requirements for sustainable forestry. The Idaho Department of Lands, which owns 25,000 acres in the area, will administer the program. The land easement will likely benefit bear, elk, moose, deer, and waterfowl, and makes it more likely that wildlife advocates can find funding for a future wildlife overpass or underpass for wildlife to get to the other side of U.S. 95 and the railroad mainline. An $800,000 tunnel, which opened in November under the State Highway 21 in southern Idaho, has seen immediate use by deer, elk, and fox. The U.S. Air Force has chosen its mountain home base as a training center for a Saudi Arabian Air Force squadron. The mountain home base won out over bases in Utah, New Mexico, and Nevada on Friday. Although details are still being worked out, officials say the training mission will likely include 12 F-15 fighter jets, 50 pilots, and 100 maintenance staff. The training mission is part of a $60 billion arms deal in which the United States sold the Saudi Kingdom 84 F-15 fighter jets. Well, that's it for the KRFP evening report for tonight. Taking a look at the weather from the National Weather Service. There's a 90% chance of rain tonight, mainly after 10 p.m., low 37. 90% chance of precipitation tomorrow, mainly in the form of rain before 10 a.m. Snow level 5,100 feet, lowering to 3,400 feet, high 41. South winds 15 to 20 with gusts up to 35 miles per hour. Tuesday night, a 40% chance of snow showers, mainly before 4 a.m. Cloudy, low 29. West winds 10 to 15, gusts up to 23. Less than half an inch possible snow accumulation. 30% chance of snow Wednesday, mainly before 10 a.m. Mostly cloudy, high 34. West winds 10 to 15. New snow accumulation, less than half an inch possible. Currently partly cloudy and 43 degrees at the Moscow Pullman Regional Airport. Well, that's it for the KRFP evening report for tonight. And coming up is Eat the Airwaves. News and opinions from the West Side, followed by Flashpoints, the daily investigative news magazine from Pacifica Radio. And at 7:30, Corey and Lynn will be in with Radioactive, campus activism announcements, and music right here on KRFP Moscow. Stay tuned through the evening, and remember to support KRFP Moscow. We're on the verge of losing our news coverage, our local news coverage, because our budget is so low. So please remember, if you get a letter or not from KRFP, to donate this holiday season. Our address, 114 East 3rd. Become a member, $35 is a one-year membership, $25 for students. Have a good night. I'm Lee Robartis. It's KRFP Moscow.